Infendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 318. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth, and joining me tonight, we have Harrison Milfeld.
I'm back!
And Colin Crompton.
Hello, everybody.
Unfortunately, Lewis was unable to join us tonight for reasons that, you know, we don't know, but things happen. But tonight, I guess I can say that... Hi, everybody. I'm the new host of Infendo Radio. I know I've done this a few times before, but this is kind of my first night doing this, you know, officially, so that's good. But tonight we're just going to have our usual three-part structure. We're changing around the what we've been playing section just a little bit. We're going to be just taking turns talking about games so that, you know, we can just save up a little bit of time for more important stuff like Nintendo news and the feature. So tonight we're going to be talking about what Harrison has been playing, and I'll let him let you know what that game is in a minute. We will then move on to our Nintendo news and finish on our feature, which is listener questions. And tonight we only have just a few questions from just one listener. I feel like we have kind of ignored his questions for a while. He feels like we've ignored his questions for a while.
We've basically been taking all the mail that we've had right now and just like collectively burning it. So I mean, that's the reason why we found an alternative fuel source. So we're like, oh, we have this email now. Now we can actually listen to it. But I kid.
Yeah. The truth is, things have been a little, you know, like crazy around Infendo lately, and, you know, we're trying to make some changes to improve the site and so on and so forth, and, you know, I think in the jumble everything just got kind of mixed up and we don't, you know, see all the questions, but we're going to do better from now on, I promise. But let's just jump right into what Harrison's been playing. Harrison, go ahead and launch us off.
Put me on the spot there. Well, I'm just going to get this out of the way, because since I was 8 months late on this, and wow, that makes me sound like I'm in term for pregnancy or something like that when I say that. So, no, I digress. No, but I finally picked up The Legend of Zelda: A Link Between Worlds.
Woohoo!
Finally. Yeah, late to the party there, I know. I took advantage of Best Buy's buy one, get one free 3DS deal, whatever, and before you're asking what my second game was, I didn't get one. I actually went halvesies on with a buddy of mine, and so all I had to do was just pay $20 for... I just paid $20 for Zelda, so that was it. So I don't want to bore too much everybody about this, since we talked about this in depth months and months ago, but I think the grace period as far as spoilers right now, I'm going to get in spoiler territory as it is, but I've gotten, you know, I'm near the end of the game in my 6 to 8, you know, playthrough with the title. I'm through Lowrul right now, saved all the sages, and I've gotten into Lowrul Castle, and that's where I kind of stopped at the moment. But just to say things I've liked about this right now, it's, I hate to use this term when describing games, especially Nintendo's repertoire, but I did have feelings of nostalgia going through this. I mean, obvious with the fact that the overworld's close to the same from what we saw in Link to a Past. Obviously, puzzles are different, layout's different a little bit, but just generally the general area's the same, you know. Kakuro Village is there, Lakilia, Death Mountain, etc., etc. And what I kind of got to it is, like, it's easy to control. One thing I felt like, you know, for handheld Zelda tiles, this is one thing I felt like was great to do, and I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it. It was just a stylus control title, whatever. That's the reason it kind of pulled me away from the two DS Zelda titles, even though I never finished any of them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, it just never really kind of flipped. I understand why some people, a liked them. It just, I never could get engrossed into them as much as previous handheld Zelda titles. But luckily, with Link Between Worlds, that's changed. Because, I mean, it may not be that huge, colossal step forward for the series, but it's just a small little step in the right direction. One being that you're not recycling old ideas just for the sake of nostalgia. You're basically taking the groundwork of something that, like, one of the most renowned Super Nintendo games and giving it a proper sequel. But as far as things that are changes, I mean, well, I thought going in I was going to hate the rental system,
but
I haven't had any trouble with basically it. I didn't realize about halfway through that you could buy items, like, to own fully on there. And with the rental system, obviously, it puts a greater emphasis on collecting rupees, whatever, in dungeons and, you know, Link doing his usual long work across Hyrule. So, but just to kind of wrap things up right now, it just, the thing that I really liked the most about this is the fact that the thing that's kind of been absent in a lot of 3D Zelda titles is the weight between hand-holding, almost, it seems, when you're trying to get where the action starts to pick up. Whereas in this one, you're waiting about maybe 5-7 minutes until maybe less than that, until the action picks up, whatever. Whereas most 3D Zelda titles, you're waiting upwards of 30 minutes and or even to an hour before things start to pick up. This, it's just, you're really, great balance of control, great usage of, like, the game mechanics of the wall puzzles and hieroglyphics that Link uses, which makes the dungeons a lot more kind of like when I have to crank the gears to find out these puzzles. So, I mean, overall, yeah, I'm kicking myself for wondering why I waited so long for this.
It might have been because of the last two, you know, DS entries, possibly. I don't know.
Not really. I mean, after when it came out, I wanted to get it. I put it on the back burner for so long. Even though when I first heard it was getting so much praise, I was like, okay, I definitely am going to pick this up. I'm going to. And then it just, other things came in, like bills, other games that I was trying to finish and play, and the fact that I was neglecting my 3DS for almost about a month or two. You know, it's just, this is just getting me finally started. I mean, who knows? I could finally buy a Fire Emblem Awakening. So, but, it's just, this is one thing I kind of, when I was looking through my gear, when I got to Little Castle, I realized there was one little item that I was missing on there, and I completely forgot. I was like, there's an item here that I remember from Link to the Past that I should be having. What is it? And I was like, the Pegasus Boots. I was like, shouldn't I have had that already?
Yeah.
And I looked it online, and I was like, oh, you have to get it from the guy who stole the jewel from the Zora Queen. Shady guy. And I never realized, while reading online, I thought there was a cutoff point where you had to start the game over to get them, but yeah, that I got that really late in the game, but I traversed pretty much easily with puzzles and whatnot doing it. But to leave it off, the dungeon order, like finishing dungeons in a certain order, my biggest concern was that I was thinking, like, okay, if you're finishing dungeons in a certain order, I figured that the difficulty in each dungeon or their dungeon bosses would be dumbed down. I was surprised in some of the difficulty in certain bosses. I mean, there were some dungeons I was entering that I felt like that you needed a certain amount of heart containers,
yeah,
or even the gear to beat them. I think one was the
The one I walked into, the buzzsaw, is when I got to Lowrul, I went straight to Turtle Rock, and that dungeon is so hard.
That one was hard, and I think the one before that I did was in Skullwoods or Shulkwoods. Skullwood. That one, I remember multiple times trying to beat that with 4 or 5 heart containers, and yes, because that's a game where you have to use the wall, like the wall mechanic on there, like the wall cleaning, like the hieroglyph mechanic on that game, and I had thought about putting that off and going back, but I luckily finished it on my umpteenth time. But to finish up, I'm enjoying everything about this right now, and hopefully I can actually buy more into it, or buy more 3DS games, who knows. But yeah, that's, I'm enjoying it, so there we go. Sorry to be late to this party right now, that a game that everybody's been enjoying so much.
Yeah. So I just have one question for you. Now that you've been playing it for 6 days and you're nearly done with the game, how many hours have you clocked? Have you looked at that?
Where can you find that on there? I've ever seen,
I think it's just as you're going into your file, like your file information will show up. I don't think this game shows that.
No, I think it's the one that
I think you have to look in your activity log.
Well, let's see. play the game for at least an average of 3 hours a day, so...
It's not bad.
16, 18 hours?
Yeah, that's right about where I was when I beat it. I think I had logged, like, 17 hours in it. A little over 17 hours when I finally beat it, but... Yeah, it's kind of a short game, but it's just short, but so, so sweet.
I think it was short the fact that I knew as far as the general portion of areas were to go to, and... Well, yeah, I think that's why it kind of came down to it, and the fact that it just, you were so, I was just so familiar with the Link to a Past mechanic, so that it wasn't just a new engine, well, not a new combat engine, per se. So, I mean, it was just, it was something I was more familiar with to kind of go through as far as a newcomer. But, yeah, it's really, yeah, for anybody else who was like me, who did not pick this up for some strange reason, yes, please go pick it up.
Yes, everyone let Harrison's mistake be a guiding light for you.
Absolutely.
And go get this game. If you don't already have
it. Do you think that this game started out as a... they were going to remake A Link to the Past, and then further down the line diverted off into, we can't make another remake because we've already done Ocarina of Time. We'll change it. Do you think that's what happened?
I don't think so. No? I think that the idea of a Link to a Past sequel slash remake has been in the works for so long. Like,
yeah.
Probably a few years before this. It's just they, I think they just waited until they actually wanted to get better technology, like, you know, better handheld technology to actually implement this, especially the hieroglyphic, you know, mechanic that they have with this.
Yeah, because, I mean, everyone I spoke to, this game has such a mixed, like, feeling, because my brother can't stand this Zelda game, because... It's like he goes, they were aiming for Link to the Past, but fell short. Because he compares it so much to Link to the Past, it sort of blinds him from the new stuff in the game. That's why he's like, oh, I can't play this game, it's terrible. I was like, well, no, the game's great, it's just you need to forget about Link to the Past and treat it as its own game. But he can't because it's so similar. And he goes, oh, that's there, that's there, that's there. Easy. So, yeah, I think the fact it's too similar to Link to the Past kind of works against it a little bit. And they should have, like, changed the Overworld slightly. But, do you not agree?
Well, that's a good question to pose to our listeners. So listeners, like, let us know if, I don't know, thinking about A Link to the Past kind of ruined or diminished your experience with A Link Between Worlds. Or A Link, yeah, that's what it's called. Oh, I get the titles mixed up with it. But yeah, feel free to send us in a comment on that. Did anyone else have any other comments on A Link Between Worlds, though, before we move on?
No, not really.
Okay, I think we've covered that quite well enough at this point, so we will move on to the Nintendo news. The first thing, this happened like a couple of days after our last episode, as in like a couple of weeks ago, but we have some new Super Smash Bros. Characters, one returning and two brand new. So Captain Falcon is returning to Super Smash Bros. For Wii U and 3DS. Additionally, Lucina and Robin from Fire Emblem Awakening will be making their debut. And Crom, who everyone was kind of expecting and possibly hoping would make it, he's kind of in the game as far as we can tell. He just shows up to assist Robin with his or her final smash. And that's another thing. Robin is just like the avatar character from Fire Emblem Awakening, and so they've included the male and female version of Robin. So yeah, what do you guys think about this? I know, Harrison, I don't know why, but you just seem like a Captain Falcon fan to me, so... I don't know where that's coming from. I'm trying to think of where that's
I'm curious where that is exactly, where you're getting that assumption.
But I'm happy. I don't know if you guys are happy, but I'm happy about Captain Falcon returning.
I mean, yeah. Was there any doubt that he wouldn't return exactly?
He's been in all the games, so it'd be surprising if he wasn't in this one at some point. So, it was to be expected for me. But, cool. I mean, if all the originals from the first game make it through all the games, then great.
Well, I think that at this point, it makes you think, don't you think Earthbound fans should be kind of sweating bullets at this point?
A little bit, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think maybe there's, you know, a few more characters to come.
Oh, yeah.
So... I think he'll make it in there.
Yeah, I mean, I actually got up to watch this trailer. Well, this was about, almost 2 weeks ago for this reveal. And, of course, I think the one character we were kind of expecting to be revealed was Shulk from Xenoblade Chronicles, because Monolith Soft had retweeted Nintendo's response, one of Nintendo's tweets, that they were going to do a character reveal, which, if anybody's watched Directs, if any of the companies retweet this stuff on Twitter or advertise it, there's usually a good chance that they're represented. Yeah, that was not the case, but no, it was the thing that I brought off to this though was two things. One, this is great for Fire Emblem, and I, even though the characters were decided at the beginning of development of this game, I still think that the way they're being advertised and shown in this game, I feel like Fire Emblem's like surging sales as far as here in the States and Europe have kind of helped contribute to that. I mean, Awakening was kind of almost a swan song for the Fire Emblem series because even the creators from Intelligent Systems said that they were only considering making another more of these games unless Awakening sold well. And lo and behold, it sold extremely well here in the States and Europe. But second thing that came off to this, though, was do you feel like there's too many sword-based that's putting too many sword-based characters in this game?
That's kind of a tough question. We are getting, or I don't know if Meta Knight is going to come back. He was a big sword wielder in Brawl, so I don't know.
Well, that and the competitive Smash Brothers community just despises that character.
I think, Lucina, we have discovered, is basically a Marth clone. It's just that,
Wait, is that confirmed? I could have swore Sakurai said it technically what she technically wasn't.
I think he confirmed that she was, well, he tried to, I don't know, sugarcoat the whole situation, I think. He tried to say, like, hey, she's a lot like Marth, but, you know, clone characters are just gonna happen, you just gotta deal with it.
Well,
I think he basically said that.
Yeah, no, a thing you should notice on the Smash Brothers website, though, is you look at Robin's, like, character profile, like, with all the characters on the front page, Robin has the newcomer portion embedded into the background, this, like, because his clickable like profile, whereas Lucina does not.
Interesting.
That raised a question to me as far as the whole, is this just a gender swap with Mark?
Yeah.
Because I think the fact that they included her into this was to give more, you know, more female characters.
Yep.
Nothing, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Well, I think that she's a clone, like, she's her own separate character, because according to things that I've heard and read, she, you know, has the same moveset as Marth, but she is shorter, and her power is probably a little bit different.
Yeah.
One thing is for sure is that the whole length of her blade deals the same amount of damage no matter where you hit a character. Whereas with Marth, the tip of his sword is the most powerful part of that. And so, you know, there's that, and there's probably a couple of other things that differentiate her from Marth, but yeah, I think she's just like a clone with just some minor differences, basically, moveset-wise.
I just hope it doesn't get to melee levels with the clone characters like Mario, Dr. Mario, and then you had Captain Falcon with Ganondorf, and then you had Pikachu with Pichu, and it's like...
Well, yeah, I think Brawl kind of exposed that a little bit more with even more well, clone characters, but there are subtle, I mean, well, not subtle, but there are differences, I think, in both Marth and Lucina's, like, movesets, though.
Yeah.
I think that's... But it's, would we, I mean, in fact, with the appearance of, like, Robin on here, I think, even though I mentioned that there's quite an abundance of sword-based characters in this roster, wouldn't you kind of consider Robin more of a magic-based character? The same way that we've been putting, like, you know, Ness and Lucas into it?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Robin is more magic-based, even though, like, he uses magic via these tomes or books, and he does seem to run out. We don't know exactly how that works, but he'll run out of his, you know, tome usage and then have to resort to a sword. But I think that his focus is on magic, even if he does run out of it occasionally.
Yeah. Basically, the magic can be really powerful, but to avoid people just spamming it relentlessly, it has a limit, so that's good. I mean, it'll make it more fair in online matches and things like that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I would love to see some, you know, like, actual gameplay footage. Well, you know, more than what was seen in the trailer of Lucina fighting, because I'm, you know, I'm a huge Marth fan, a huge Fire Emblem fan, thanks to Awakening, and so I really want to see her in action and see how she really is different from Marth.
Yeah.
But, all in all, I think she's my new main. Like, I think that's almost guaranteed, because if she is basically a Marth clone...
Interesting.
That pretty much guarantees it.
Do you think the reason why they relegated Chrom to a final Smash move is because, say that instead of Lucina, they put Chrom into it? I think this goes back to my fact that with Lucina being a female character, in fact, yeah, they did want more female characters.
Yeah.
But Chrom just got the boot.
Yeah, because Crom and Lucina essentially had the same fighting style anyway. So, yeah, I think they want more female representation in this game than previous Smash games. So
I was thinking it's a possibility, a very slim one, but a possibility that Crom will be like a gender swap for Lucina.
That could be true, yeah.
It seems pretty...
I the only way we find out it's a clone of Mart is if we realize Lucina's not on there. Like, where's she at? And you just, like, flip over to the character screen. Oh, there she is. Oh, that's a waste of space.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Well, my hope is she'll be different enough from Crom to, you know, really make her stand out. But moving on, Harrison, I believe that you reported this little news story, and I mean, this rumor was just flying around the internet that this Japanese magazine called KoroKoro, KoroKoro, was going to be basically revealing the entire Super Smash Bros. 4 roster.
Sometime in August. Yeah, I got excited for that, and then it was clarified, I think, about a couple days later after the original posting of the story that they were just going to be showing the characters that were already announced.
Yeah.
And which I think is a relief right now, which is a relief to me because I love these reveal videos. I really do.
Yeah, I'm in agreement there for sure. And who knows, we might have one or two more reveal, well, probably just one, if any, before this particular issue of the magazine comes out. So I don't know. They might have a new character that we don't currently know about, but will be revealed between now and then.
Yeah.
But the, well, yeah, the roster right now, this is up at 36. Or 37 if you count Mr. Game & Watch, if it's led to believe he's still in there from the Pac-Man reveal trailer. I'm just going to count that on there.
Yeah, I reckon he is.
So, if I were to guess, there's maybe 3 or 5 more roster spots on there, in which I'm thinking once this game was, like, once they announced the both 3DS and Wii U version, that this was going to be a handheld and a console game, I was just under the assumption that they were not going to increase the roster. Because Sakurai had gone on the record that, you know, he did not want to add on more characters because he wanted to avoid the usage of clone characters.
Yeah.
So, off the top of your head, we're at 36, 37 characters. Again, 37 with Mr. Game & Watch, possibly. I'm counting on that. How many more characters do you think are... What do you think the roster is going to cap out at?
I think about 41.
Going with the odd number?
Yeah, I'm going with the odd number.
It just sounds less, I guess, predictable if you use 41 as opposed to 40.
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, right around that area, 40, 41. Do you guys think there's a possibility that there will be some characters that aren't revealed before the game? You have to play the game and unlock them to find out?
I hope that's the case.
That would be awesome.
That meta, yeah. That was cool.
That was the best thing about finding out about these characters is because once I initially played the game, I had to go look up online how to unlock these characters, and all they did was just give me the list on there, and I just remember getting excited, like, looking at the names of Mewtwo, and Fire Emblem, and Ganondorf. I got pretty excited about it, and they didn't show any, you know, character, like, screenshots of it. They just listed the names, and they just showed how you had to unlock him. Mewtwo being the most annoying possible way to unlock him was you had to play the game for like 20 hours straight.
Yeah, yeah. Or do 700 versus battles. And it's like,
My quick way to unlock him, well, Mewtwo, was to just basically set up a stock match and have the characters on there, not move, turn off the TV, go to school, come back, finish the match. There we go.
A day later.
That's not a bad idea.
It worked. Day later, boom, there it is.
Alright, well, moving on. Our next piece of news is that Club Nintendo in America, I guess things work a little differently in Europe and in Japan even, but Club Nintendo of America will usually have these elite status rewards. You have to get a certain amount of coins to get up to gold status, and then a certain amount more to get up to platinum status. And typically, Club Nintendo will offer specific rewards that don't cost any coins, just for those special elite members. In the past, you know, we've had, like, playing cards. I'm actually seeing some of these things sitting on my desk right now. The pin collection. Some really cool physical stuff that you literally cannot get anywhere else. This year, however, we recently got our selection of prizes, and they were just digital downloads of games. So, and I kind of already talked about this in the article I posted to Infendo, and most people are as upset as I am, but yeah, this is different and not to me in any way, not that great of a thing.
No.
I will actually, I'll let you know right now that I got NES Remix with my Elite, you know, status gift, which is very good. But again, I definitely would have preferred a physical reward. Harrison, did you get up to gold or platinum status? And
I did get platinum for the third straight year.
That's dedication. Yes.
Did you get a game yet?
No, no. I have not chosen one yet because to start this off, I was really expecting physical rewards, but again, these digital ones are fine. It's just their selection that they have on there is just kind of weak because most of these I have, and some of these I really don't want to go down to the gold status ones and buy them because, or, well, choose them is because at this point, I'm choosing the one that's going to go towards my digital deluxe program, like, points. I mean, that's the reason, only reason why I have Wii U Party on my Wii U right now. I don't play it. I have not even touched it at the moment right now. It's just there to get me the $5 or $10 that I need back from the game. And it's, I don't know, I just wish there was a better selection on there. There's one that's like, Dylan's Rolling Westerns on there, which is also a platinum reward on there, which is kind of odd considering how late last year or early this year it was offered in Club Nintendo for like 150 coins. I feel like some of these titles should be offered where the point, it's just, even if their real coin status was a lot, like, worth a little bit more if you got them on the Club Nintendo site. It just, I'm not wanting the fact that these are not physical, even though when I started doing Club Nintendo was a year after the Mario and friend, like, Mario and Co. Figurine statue, which I am jealous that anybody has. That was one thing I wanted. That's the reason why I put all my stuff into Club Nintendo. And it just feels like the rewards have been kind of getting progressively bad in the States.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So what I'm hearing is that you're pretty much leaning toward Game and Wario just because of the price and the deluxe credit that you'll get.
See, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm going to get. I may end up buying. It's a choice between, I think, WarioWare or, God, what's the other one on there?
Let me just list them here. There's Game & Wario, NES Remix, Earthbound, Dr. Luigi, Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, Fluidity Spin Cycle, Dylan's Rolling Western, and Mario & Donkey Kong Minis on the Move for Platinum-only members.
Well, I think, yeah, it was Dr. Luigi I thought about getting as well. But Game & Wario was one I kept going back and forth between. It just, I was kind of deciding, do I want something that I'm going to get good multiplayer experience with, or just a fun little party game?
One that you will actually play versus one that you probably wouldn't.
Yeah, that's...
You should go with Dr. Luigi.
Yeah, that's probably one I might end up using, so... Have you... Well, have you chosen anything? Oh, I know, Colin's in...
I'm in the UK, we don't get that here, I'm jealous. This is ridiculous.
Wait, you don't get Club Nintendo? Or you just don't get Club Nintendo?
We have Club Nintendo, but we have stars instead of coins. We don't have any platinum or gold service. We just literally get,
So basically yearly.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I think that's the reason why Europe and Japan get better rewards, is because...
Yeah.
Because we get platinum, free stuff that we don't even have to spend coins on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Colin and Lewis actually commented on the post and gave us that much needed perspective. But at the same time, I'm really upset about this. And, you know, I'm enjoying NES Remix, but to have some, you know, super exclusive and awesome physical thing to put on my desk,
yeah,
I would have been so much happier.
There's no way you can save your platinum status for next year?
No.
No.
No. Once the Club Nintendo year ends, which is from July to June of next year, you have to use those coins in that. The coins reset. Well, you still keep the coins.
Yeah.
It's just your status resets.
That's a shame.
So, Harrison, yeah, I'd go with Dr. Luigi. Do you already have NES Remix?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'd go with Dr. Luigi then. It's fun. We can play it online, and we can finally have that Infendo showdown. And, Colin, do you have Dr. Luigi?
I don't have a Wii U.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay.
I'm just finally realizing this.
I've known this. I just keep forgetting.
It's only a marathon, I swear. It's only a marathon.
Step one, buy a Wii U. Step two, buy... What was it? Mario Kart 8. There's like a million games that you gotta buy.
Yeah.
And then get Dr. Luigi, and we can all have this massive Infendo showdown.
Sounds good.
I'm just fantasizing here, because, it seems like it's just not gonna happen.
I'm sure it will.
All right, well, moving on. Our next piece of news is... I gotta bring up the notes here. So Harrison posted this. Eiji Aonuma, the director of the Zelda series, has stated that he wants Zelda for Wii U to be vast, basically, just, you know, with that exclamation point. I want it to be super vast. So he basically talks about how in previous Zelda games, players were often limited to, you know, as to where they could go, when they could go there, and how they could get there. And so he basically just wants to open that all up for the Wii U version of Zelda, which I think is really nifty. It's really cool. You know, I was playing Wind Waker HD, which was my first time actually getting through that game, period. And there were some points where I would, like, sail across the ocean. I'd think, ooh, I want to go over there. But at some point, like, the King of Red Lion stops and is all like, sorry, yeah, you can't go that far.
You're just hindered by the blocks of the area.
Exactly.
And, you know, not to say that that area wasn't vast, it just, you were limited to the portion of where you could go.
Yeah, so even Wind Waker, which was a super vast and large world, you know, had its limitations.
Yeah.
So, does anyone have any really strong comments on this particular piece of news?
Not really. I mean, I think it's just, again, another clarification of what Onuma and his entire team are trying to bring the Zelda series, you know, as far as moving it forward. So, it's just, you're going to be hearing more and more about this, but, I mean, this is a side note, but this is also Zelda Wii related. The Japanese description of the, on Nintendo's website for the game for Zelda Wii U was posted on the Japanese Nintendo website, and it mentions something about, you know, Link on there facing a new nemesis.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's all.
I don't know. I read this first. I was like, yes, someone new. Finally, Ganon's not around. Then I realized that they did the same thing for Twilight Princess, and it was technically a bait and switch. With, oh, it's Zant. Oh no, it's actually Ganon, the main bad guy. Zant just reports to him. I was like, oh, that's it.
Yeah, and they did that kind of with Skyward Sword and even A Link Between Worlds as well.
Yeah,
in Skyward Sword, you know, it's like,
in Skyward Sword, it wasn't necessarily Ganon, it was just...
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Just demise. Yeah, it's, yeah.
Same guy in a spiritual sense.
That's right.
Everything is so spiritual in this Zelda series when you think about
One thing I don't understand about Ganon, what's with the ginger hair? If anyone can,
I guess that's a
if
good
anyone
question.
Can answer that.
It's flaming red. You know, redheads are known for their, you know, kind of like tempers. I mean, I'm a redhead. I kind of have a bit of a temper, so maybe that's part of it. I have no idea.
I'm a redhead.
Why haven't you showed it on the podcast yet?
Because normally I'm pretty, I don't know.
I can't.
You know, if we, like, had a podcast where we were all playing Mario Kart together and talking, like, doing the podcast at the same time or something like that, you'd probably get a dose of that temper of mine.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm not buying Mario Kart.
Holly dropping expletives. I really need to hear this.
Never. It's never going to happen. All right. Well, moving on. We have a couple more news stories to cover, I guess. This next one is regarding Infendo.com. There are more of these to come, but we have two new writers on the site. There's Joseph Hernandez and Justin Riley. Ooh. And from all of us here on the podcast, welcome to the site.
Welcome, guys.
Justin and Joseph. Yeah. So far, they're doing a pretty good job. I have been really enjoying their articles thus far. So, yeah, welcome to the site. And
welcome, and hopefully you won't... Well, not saying you won't. Hopefully that you will be able to put up with our nonsense.
Yes. You guys, I don't know. You don't know anything yet. Anyway, that's just kind of, you know, a small little news story, so a little welcome to our new writers, and, you know, there's probably more to come, so we will just mention them as we get them, but this is kind of our last news story for today. Nintendo has attended San Diego Comic-Con, and it's been going on for the past 2 days, but Nintendo has had this nice little live stream going for several hours over yesterday and today, which is Friday and Saturday. So, I don't know. Colin and Harrison, have you guys tuned into this at all? Or
I've tuned in for bits in there. I haven't seen the 3DS Smash Brothers tournament at all. I mean, I've heard through Twitter, whatever, people like kind of commenting back and forth on it. I haven't watched it yet. I still need to go back and watch some of the Treehouse Live portions on there. But a friend of mine had mentioned... a friend of mine had mentioned how, you know, they're doing the Treehouse Live segments on here again, like they did E3. And it kind of puts into perspective right now what they're doing there now, how big of a risk them doing just streaming event E3 was. How big of a risk it was.
Yeah, and with Comic-Con, it's kind of the same thing. There's just, I don't know, I mean, they published on YouTube, actually, the Fridays Comic-Con activities, basically. And that video ended up being, like, 7.5 hours long. Ooh. So, I mean, that's just, like, 7.5 hours of time that they have to spend doing something to keep people interested. And so it's a really interesting concept, but I think they've pulled it off pretty well. I think they pulled it off a lot better at E3 because I was watching I saw the first hour and a half of Friday's stream, and they had technical difficulties. It took like 15 minutes just for them to like kick it off and get it started. And so, you know, it's been a little clumsier at San Diego, but it's still pretty cool. I think they've had a little too much Super Smash Bros. Coverage as well. That's just me. But Colin, have you been viewing anything?
No, I've been
San Diego Comic Con.
I've been far too busy lately. I've got so many things going on. But my brother, who's also a Nintendo fan, he sat and watched quite a chunk of it, and he said it was amazing. You know, the experience, and I was like, okay, well, I'll check it out when it. You know, for 7.5 hours on YouTube, I'm going to have to take it in chunks. So no, unfortunately, I've missed a lot of it, but. I heard it's quite a good stream.
Yeah, they've been doing all right. Yeah. Today they've actually showed a greater variety of games. They've even been showing off some like retro games, which is really nifty. Ooh. I saw a little bit of Zelda 2, which was fun to watch. And as I was tuning in just before we started recording the podcast, and they had some retro game being played. I did not recognize it, though, so that's a little unfortunate.
Interesting.
But they actually have... made a couple of announcements as they have done this live stream. One of them, actually, this was announced earlier this week, I guess. Darunia is playable in Hyrule Warriors. Did you guys hear about this
yep,
yet?
Yeah,
I saw that, and I saw that Rudo was also playable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Couple new playable characters there.
Are they going to have all the sages?
The game has finally gone gold, too.
What's that?
It's gone gold, as in it's finally finished.
Being localized, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a term I'll have to remember.
I never know. I was just like, gold? What, the golden disc or something? Wow, that's cool. Yeah.
So, I still don't feel like there's a big reason. Lewis has talked about this before. He, you know, like, originally saw Hyrule Warriors and wondered, like, what the big thing that made you have to get this game was. Mm. I still don't see that. I still am not planning on getting this game day one.
No?
So, Colin, convince me to get it. Or
convince
don't.
Me, convince me as well. I mean, it's probably one of those games. When it was first announced, I was like, okay, forget about it. And then when it was revealed more at E3, piqued my interest a bit. But I'm still not seeing basically how a combat system that Zelda is not knowing how Zelda is not known for combat and bringing that into the Dynasty Warriors world.
Yeah. I'm assuming, have you played any of the previous Dynasty Warriors games, either of you?
Long time ago.
Well, yeah, it's... I don't know what I've played of it. I played it at a London event, and the storyline, it seems like if you want a dark, mature Zelda storyline, akin to, say, Twilight Princess, or maybe Majora's Mask, but that's a bit more... That's quite dark. Yeah, this has got a real good dark storyline. It's got solid story writing. But if it's really just a hack and slash game with Zelda. I mean, it does what it says on the tin. I don't know, if you're not a fan of hack and slash games, then you might not like it. But if you want a good Zelda story, then I recommend what I played. The demo I played was really good. So maybe it'd be good if they released a playable demo for people who are on the fence, so they can give it a chance. But I don't know if they'll do that or not.
Well, my plan has been, and will probably stay this way after your comments, I'm probably just going to wait for the price to go down. I would not pay full price for this game, probably, so...
Yeah. Well,
I'll get it eventually.
Well, that's the thing. So far, at least in the UK, the average price for like a new Wii U game, like Mario Kart's £44, I think, on Amazon at the moment. But Hyrule Warriors is £35. It's a little bit lower than all the other Wii U games when they first launch.
That might help my decision a bit.
Which was interesting. I was just like, well, okay, you know, why not?
Everything I've seen, I've just been underwhelmed, and so everything I've seen has made me think, like, I would not pay, you know, in the US, a full price for a Wii U game is $60.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay $60 for this, based on what I've seen.
If you want really crazy stuff happening on screen, this is a game for you, because it gets, like, overwhelming at times, where it's like, there's explosions, and then you got to fight this giant boss, which is ravaging through mountains and stuff, and it's like, what's going on? Yeah. And it's super fluid. And graphically, I mean, the game is amazing. I mean, you've got to look at screenshots there. Yeah, this would be a day one purchase for me if I owned a Wii U, which I'm seriously considering getting a Wii U just for this game at the moment. So.
And all the other games are just the cherry on top, I guess.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. We'll see. It's just, I'm all for trying certain things new with the Zelda like name, as long as it's not an abomination. It's just, you're combining two things that really shouldn't, yeah, they sound good on paper, but it's just, I feel like the execution of this is going to be kind of, what should I say? It's going to be all style and no substance.
Well, I mean, it does stray from the Dynasty Warriors formula a little bit. There is exploration, there is a little bit of puzzle solving, but it's not really heavy. It's like, oh, light this torch, and a box appears. And, you know, things like that, like traditional Zelda stuff. But there is, like, cracks and walls, caves you can explore. I mean, it's really, some of the enemies just attack from behind or use a certain item. But apart from that, yeah, it's very much like just wipe out 1,000 enemies and move on to the next area and wipe out 1,000 more. So, like I said, if you're not a fan of hack and slash, then this may not be for you, but I reckon it's worth a try, I'll say, at the very least.
Well, yeah. It's like you say, hopefully they'll put out a demo for this. Yeah. That would definitely help a lot of people, I think. But actually, we were talking about Comic-Con, and all of a sudden we're talking about Hyrule Warriors, which is fine. They did play a little bit of Hyrule Warriors earlier today, as in Saturday, so no biggie. As far as other announcements during San Diego Comic-Con go, though, the only other big one that I can think of is that NES Remix 1 and 2 are going to be released, at least here in the United States, on a physical disc together as NES Remix Pack. So, that's good. If you don't already have those games, I suppose that's a good option for you. I was planning on getting number 2, and so I don't really have any need to buy a physical copy at this point. It's funny that Nintendo should announce this right after they offer NES Remix as a Club Nintendo Elite status reward. Because I think a ton of people got that game because of that.
And they're now kicking
and
themselves.
And so that's a ton of people. Yeah, that's a ton of people who won't be buying the disc, probably.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Kind of an interesting move there, but good luck with that, Nintendo. We're still waiting on SNES Remix,
yes,
and so on and so forth. But
What are you talking about? We're looking for a Master System Remix.
Going the Sega route. No. Master System, what are they going to put out for that? There's Sonic the Hedgehog?
Genesis, but they did release a Master System version of the first game on there.
That's right.
And,
that's right. That's what I'm thinking of.
No, their mascot back then was Alex Kidd.
That's right.
So, yeah, and then the first Phantasy Star games came on there. So,
oh yeah, I remember.
But yeah, I think we're done. I think we're getting way off track here.
In Colin's dream world, though, Nintendo would just skip straight to GameCube remix, right, Colin?
Absolutely. That'd be...
Are you kidding me? That'd be amazing.
That would be incredible. Who would want that? Brilliant. I mean, just play as Mario with Flood running around, you know, the world of Wind Waker. It'd be crazy, but that'd be brilliant. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Now you've got my imagination going. I just hope that Nintendo continues, you know, this whole thing and goes up to at least the Super Nintendo, hopefully the N64, and even the GameCube.
Yeah.
That would just be really cool.
I just think of the technical problems with GameCube. You know, like, how are we going to get these two game engines to work together? So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I can see how that would be a roadblock.
Yeah.
That pretty much concludes our Nintendo news for tonight. And so we'll move on now to our feature, which is basically listener questions. All of these questions, and there's a ton of them, but they all come from our fan, I suppose, Mykola Kaiba. I hope I pronounced that right. The first question here is, what was your favorite game shown at E3? Let's just go around and, you know, put it out there, starting with Harrison.
I'm just going to go a little tricky on this one. I'm going to say one that was from Nintendo and one that was outside, that was shown on the floor.
Fair enough.
Yeah, favorite I've seen from Nintendo was Splatoon. And just the short of it was that it gave me two things, whatever, a new IP from Nintendo, and secondly, a great probably local and online multiplayer game that probably could easily probably join up in the ranks of, you know, past local multiplayer or even online titles like Mario Kart and Super Smash Brothers. So I just like things that are changing, where it's just not a generic shooter. It's a shooter, cartoonish, but with a twist. So, you know, I the whole concept behind it, whatever, just I rambled on about it after E3, but, you know, I'm still wanting to see more of this, and I want it in my hands. But outside, yeah, outside of the game right now, well, outside of Nintendo that I really enjoyed was Sunset Overdrive for the 360, or for the Xbox One, done by Insomniac Games. Saw the reveal trailer, love the art style to it, and, well, generally, love the art style and design of it. Yeah, and could be that reason why I pick up another console, who knows. So, yeah, that's what I liked.
Yeah, I can't relate to the Xbox stuff at all, but I'm glad. I think competition is good for Nintendo.
Absolutely.
And for Xbox and PlayStation for that matter. So, Colin, what was your favorite game?
My favorite game. It's easy. It's Xenoblade Chronicles X. The fact it's finally got a title, though, is a bit wordy. Yeah, the new trailer was amazing. I'm like, it just sort of psyched me up for even more. Having played all the previous games, I'm like, yes, this is gonna be amazing. So, reason number two to buy a Wii U.
Yeah. Where does Super Smash Bros. Fit in there?
Well, see, it's kind of difficult because, I mean, I've got a 3DS, and so I'll be getting the 3DS version of Smash Bros. See, it baffles me, Smash Bros., because Nintendo's crazy for releasing the 3DS one, and then later on releasing the Wii U one, because people are going to buy they're going to buy the 3DS one and then go, and people are just going to go, oh, well, I've got that. I don't need the Wii U one.
Well, no, I wouldn't say it's that. I mean, it's crazy that I think it has to come down to the fact that the, you know, debugging and testing for both the handheld and home console game vary in length.
Yeah.
And I think if they would have released both these in the same day, one of them, and I would really think the 3DS version would probably get lost in the mix.
See, I don't know, because of the install base difference, but...
There is, yeah. You have a higher install base with 3DS and a lower one with the Wii U.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of makes sense to do this, because, I mean... Are you going when you buy both these in the same day? You're going to be playing one of them for the majority of the time.
Yeah,
I mean, not this may sound an assumption, but that's what's going to happen with some people if they buy technically the same version of the game with differences and differences in levels and difference with different modes.
Yeah.
Whereas you release this one out there, like in October, it's just a taste of what you're going to get. I mean, it's better than say. Release the Wii U version first, and then the 3DS version later.
Yeah.
It just makes the anticipation for the console one a lot better, you know, yeah, better.
Yeah, I think the 3DS being the first handheld Super Smash Bros., I think it'll be able to kind of differentiate itself. Or I think that the two different versions are going to be different enough and offer such different things that I think that Nintendo's going to find a way to show people that if they bought the 3DS version and liked
yeah.
it, then... They need the one on the Wii U as well because it offers like the same thing only better and different, and you can't have just one, you gotta have both. So hopefully Nintendo can pull that off.
Yeah, we haven't really heard much about the Wii U version, what's unique to that yet, so apart from obviously Amiibo.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that, but actually that's kind of like a foreshadowing, because a little later on we have a question that is very similar to what we've just been talking about. So I'll just quickly say what my favorite game at E3 was. Colin, you kind of stole mine.
I'm sorry.
You stole my thunder, but I also thought Xenoblade Chronicles X was the best thing. I mean, it had already been announced, obviously,
yeah.
prior to E3, but oh my gosh. I mean, the trailer was good, but for me, like the 40-minute demo that Treehouse Live at E3
yep.
did was mind-blowing. I watched that, and I yearn to play that game. In fact, I recently lent out my copy of Xenoblade Chronicles for the Wii to a friend, and I, ever since watching the Xenoblade Chronicles X
you miss it. You want it back.
Preview. I know. I've been so tempted to be like, please give that back to me. But, you know, everyone needs to experience Xenoblade Chronicles
yeah.
if they can.
Absolutely.
So... Yeah, but oh my gosh, that demo, 40 minutes of, I mean, they only showed one area out of the game, but it was so big and so beautiful, and I just, like I say, I'm just, I need to play that game. So that was easily my favorite. It has stuck out to me ever since I watched the demo, and, you know, none of the other games quite hit me like that one did. But moving on, we're going to talk a little bit more about Splatoon. Mykola's next question is regarding Splatoon. Do you think any additional modes and maps will be available? Do you think the game will draw in any new players to the shooter genre? So there's a couple of different Splatoon-related questions there. So just regarding this first question, do you think any additional modes and maps will be available? Right now, I'm just going to say yes. There has to be, because honestly, yeah, the E3 demonstration, it seemed a little bit shallow to me. I mean, it was cool, but it seemed a little...
It's early, so who knows what we could see probably when it makes. So, I mean, it's... Not to get too fussed up about, you know, whether or not as far as modes come to it, it just, there's still going to be more things coming into it.
Yeah. Anyone have any, like, guesses as to what those might be? Like, modes in particular? Because you can't really describe the maps that you expect to be on the game on a show like this. So, any extra modes that anyone could throw out there?
Well, they've already said that there will be a single player mode. And obviously they have local and online multiplayer. I'm not really sure what else you could do with it, really. I mean, it's a fairly solid, it's very solid third-person shooter. I mean, I think they're the main three, and it's single player and online and local multiplayer.
Yeah, being the not that creative person that I am, the only thing that comes to my mind, and I have to think about it real hard before this comes to me, is just some kind of a training mode. I don't know, and there could be multiple... I don't know, tasks to do in these little training modes that teach you the different mechanics of the game. That's all I can think of. But, you know, I just trust game creators to, you know, wow us with their ideas.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, so the other question for Splatoon was, do you think that it will draw in any new players to the shooter genre? Does anyone want to talk about that question a bit?
Well, it's already got one new player, and that's me. I don't really like shooters as a fact, but Splatoon is amazing. It was so much fun, and it's got me hooked into. I want to play more of it. So yes, I think it will because it's already worked on me.
Okay, so does playing this game kind of make you reconsider the shooter genre? Would you like maybe? I mean, there's Metroid Prime.
Yeah, those are shooters. Well, see, is Metroid Prime. I've always considered it like a first-person action adventure. It's got shooting as its main element, I know, but it has other things that make it more interesting, like the exploration. Whereas most shooters are just like, yeah, kill that guy, move on, kill 10 more people, move on. And it's like, ugh, it's kind of dull. But this is just, it's exhilarating. It was just so much fun. And it's, again, reason number 3 to buy a Wii U will be Splatoon.
So, I don't know. I haven't played it, but just the cartoony graphics, I don't know, the kind of simple gameplay concept of it, you know, just like paint as much territory as you can for your team. I would say that even though I haven't played it, and even though I'm not a huge shooter fan myself, it probably will draw in new fans to the shooter genre. I'm thinking mostly because of just the kid-friendliness of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's tons of shooter fans out there already. So I don't know if this game is going to, like, revolutionize the shooter fan base, but we'll see. Harrison, did you have any thoughts on that question?
I just want to see more of this game. That's it. That or just get my hands on it. I mean, it does sound like it could be, again, a really great local and online multiplayer title, but it's just we've seen so little of it right now. And I really do want to see more of this, because, I mean, when I first saw the trailer during the Direct, didn't impress me at first, but when I started reading more and more into it, I was like, okay, I see where they're going with this.
It's like we've already said, I think there's a lot more to this game than what has already been shown, and so I'm excited to find out more, too. So our final set of questions from Mycola is about Super Smash Bros. For Wii U and 3DS. So regarding Super Smash Bros., will any newcomers or veterans make it into the game? So that's the first Smash Bros. Question. So we've already kind of discussed this, but are there any specifics? I think Ness is going to make it in, because Nintendo can't just get rid of all the representation from the Earthbound series and just like take it out of Super Smash Bros. Maybe they just couldn't do that.
Maybe that's their incentive. It's like, oh, you want an Earthbound, the Virtual Console? Sorry, we're taking Ness out.
It's either one or the other. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of the veterans. Who's not?
Wario, Meta Knight, Jigglypuff.
Yeah, he's not going to be it.
Jigglypuff's been in every game so far, so it'd be kind of sad to see.
That's right, yeah.
He/her?
Yeah, it's...
No? What do you guys think about Jigglypuff?
Jigglypuff was already... was
annoying.
Yeah.
Annoying when people play against me. But,
that little...
No, I mean, again, to answer... I mean, the answer, Kai's answer is just, you'll see the mainstays like Ness and Wario come back. I mean, as far as when Jigglypuff or Meta Knight, I think it just comes down to one representation, over-representation of certain characters, so we'll have to see. I mean, I personally don't, I mean, I don't see Ganondorf coming back unless his character is just, has his own moveset and has just been fine-tuned because his position in Brawl was terrible. Because he was slower than what he was in Melee, and, you know, it just, it was lazy design. So, yeah.
Are there any newcomers that you guys feel like will definitely be in there? That's kind of a tough one to call, but is anyone, like, really certain on one or two?
I want Ridley, but again, the argument everybody keeps telling me is, like, he's too big.
He is too big.
I don't care.
I give it a fight.
I don't care. I want him in there.
How about the baby?
I'm kind of on Harrison's
side. How about the baby Ridley that appeared in Other M?
Oh, God, that.
Hey, it's the right size, I mean.
Oh, it's the right size, but is anybody outside who's never probably played Metroid Other M going to recognize that?
Well.
Oh, it's a Pokemon! No, it's from Metroid. What?
I wouldn't recognize it. I'd never beat Other M, unfortunately.
Nah, that game was okay, but...
Well, we have two... We have two, you know, completely opposing viewpoints here, apparently. Colin, you're that strong against Ridley returning?
Yeah, well, no, as a boss character, yeah. But look, if he's ever a playable character, then Smash Bros. Has just gone off the deep end. That makes no sense.
I know that, it's just, if you look at the Melee intro trailer, there's a section where there's a, like, during the cutscene beginning of the Melee, there's a segment where Samus is firing a missile at Ridley, and the size comparison to that, it's pretty similar. I mean, yeah, it could fit. And my argument was, like, you know, Bowser used to be big, and look what they've done to him right now. I mean, his size fluctuates, seems like, between different Mario
games. Yeah, I was going to say, but he's always different. So.
But it's just me wanting another representative from the Metroid series. Mm. And I just feel like Zero Suit Samus, as the second one on there, is just not going to cut it.
Yeah, that's...
I would agree with that.
See, the trouble with the Metroid series, I'm trying to think of another strong character that people go, oh, that's Metroid. I mean, there's not that many, you know. Unless
they could... I mean, I thought Dark Samus would be one, but that's now an assist trophy.
Yeah, and that'd be like a clone character, and it'd be like, another one.
I don't know, but they could do a space pirate or a Zebesian. That could work.
Yeah, but again, I'd say, what see people go, hey, it's definitely Metroid. That is... You know, because all the other characters, you see them, you recognise, oh, that's so-and-so from this series. I mean, if you start having like, these unknown characters, it's going to become bloody PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
Well, look at Melee. Some people didn't realise who Roy and Marth were.
That's true, that is true.
Or even who Meta Knight was. Mm. Or Earthbound characters. Some people didn't know, but that's how some people who never played Earthbound or even Fire Emblem got introduced to those characters. That series.
That's true, yeah. That's a good point. That's well made.
I'm just content to listen to you guys duke it out in this argument. But I think that it's possible for Ridley to be a playable character. Just size him down a bit.
Just to drag it back. Any newcomers? We've had a big hint with the Rayman trophy.
Oh.
Please tell me that's a no.
Do you think Rayman would be in Smash Bros?
I hope not.
Why you don't like Rayman? Because you just don't want any more third-party characters. I think they set the cap for third-party characters in this game right now.
Yeah.
I think maybe the trophy in there is Ubisoft's apology, saying, like, sorry we're not putting games out on your console.
Yeah. Do you think we have more third-party trophies?
That's a good question, too. Mm. I almost hope not. I just...
We want Smash Bros.
You want this to be Nintendo centric,
yeah,
or
as Nintendo centric as possible. Even the inclusion of Rayman as a trophy kind of bugged me.
Well, you have Sonic and Mega Man and Pac-Man in there, but yeah, these are characters that have, well, exception of Sonic right now, even though he's appeared in other Nintendo consoles, but that was after the 2000s.
Yeah,
but just you've had Mega Man, Pac-Man, who've been. I think it's just the fact like. Is these known characters that you've seen on Nintendo platforms.
Yeah, and Nintendo has done a very excellent job of, you know, making a really excellent and recognizable set of third-party characters appear in this game, so that's good. But I guess none of us really have any, like, sure guesses as to newcomers. And by the way, I think I might have mentioned Ridley as a returning character. That is false. If Ridley made it, he would not be a returning character. I mean, if you can't already tell, I'm kind of sick. And so, you know, you can't trust everything that comes out of my mouth. But does anyone... I mean, Shulk, I feel like, is probably the most likely newcomer... Mm-hmm. I don't know, at this point, to make it into the game.
Chibi-Robo?
Yeah.
That would be unusual.
But isn't he tiny?
You could size him up.
They gotta resize him.
I'm just...
A bit.
Mega-Robo.
He's, like, technically 2 inches tall, I think. Oh, they're gonna put Rusty Slugger in there. I just know it.
Oh, my God. That's scraping the barrel. That is... Who else could we put in this game?
I'm thinking, well... Maybe through the Zelda series, they could put Ghirahim in there.
Mm, that'd be a good choice. But then, if he appears in more than one Zelda game, then yeah. If he becomes like a recurring character, well, I'm not quite sure how that will work.
I'm just trying to figure out some characters that aren't sword based characters. That because I feel like we're at a point where maybe one more would be okay, but just,
yeah.
I'm not bugged by the sword based characters. In fact, by the time Brawl kind of hit the end of its life cycle, which, you know, it's pretty much done. So, you know, for the last little while I was into Brawl, basically, I was just choosing all the sword-wielding characters because I thought, they're the coolest. Swords are the coolest. I've always been that way. So I'm happy with the sword-wielders. Even if there is an excess, according to you.
I'm just going through Nintendo's catalog of characters. No, not Golden Sun. That would just be too... I know people play it, but I just... I don't... That's more restricted to assist trophies.
Yeah, Golden Sun's a bit too niche at the moment.
It is, and it's popular. I mean, it's popular in some sense. People played it, but, God, I'm just thinking... I knew if they would announce Shulk first on the 2 weeks ago, I would assume probably newcomers, you'll see Fire Emblem. That's it.
Pauline. They're gonna add her in there.
Pauline?
I guess I'm sometimes a little more creative than I give myself credit for.
What is she just gonna be crying out for help on a platform? That's it?
I don't know. That's a good question. She was like the first Nintendo damsel in distress.
That's right.
I don't get why she doesn't have more, I don't know, appearances in the Nintendo universe. She should be there more often.
This is my ace in the hole because Star Fox needs another representative.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were gonna say Captain N.
If they did that, I wouldn't be mad, but also I wouldn't be happy. I'd just be confused. Awesome! You're the most obscure and probably laughable cartoon that was media executives say like, hey, I'll just put Nintendo stuff into it. You know, it was just a game commercial. It was a commercial for game. It was a TV show about commercials, essentially a commercial for games. And for Star Fox representative, between the two, Slippy or Peppy.
Peppy.
There.
I don't want Slippy.
Wait, is Falco back in this game?
Nope. Not yet.
Oh.
No.
Do you guys think he won't be?
No. I don't think he will be. I think they're trying to reduce the amount of... I mean, Falco had pretty much the exact same moveset as Fox anyway. His blaster was slightly different, but no. I don't think they're trying to cut down on clone characters, and I can see maybe as an assist he gets in the R-Wing, and that'd be cool, but no, not a character.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, I think he's got more. We can talk about characters for a long time now. But I mean, it's we also furthermore in the question he's mentioned. You know, what stages do you want to see from both versions that haven't been announced, and which version are you more interested as far as the game more interested in? Classic stages. The Brinstar and Castle Hyrule would be a good choice.
What's that one in Melee? I think it's one. It's unlockable for sure.
Right.
I think it just has Kraid in the background or something.
Yeah,
Brinstar Depths.
Yeah, Brinstar Depths. Yeah. You're correct.
I loved that course. Everyone else hated that level. I loved it. Such a blast. That one would be so fun to see return.
That would be cool, yeah, actually. Yeah, that's a good point. But, stages.
They don't have to be returning, I don't think.
No.
It's funny because he says, what stages do you want to see for both versions? I don't know if any of the two different versions are going to have... like similar stages, except for Battlefield. And
yeah,
I think what I think when you mentioned what do you want to see, what new stages do you want to see returned for both versions, as in not have the same ones. It just
what do you want to see?
I have no preference with the Wii U and 3DS versions as long as it's in there.
I'm trying to think of a 3DS game.
I don't think there's a stage for like A Link Between Worlds specifically. I mean, there's the Spirit Train, I think, as a stage in the 3DS version for Zelda representation. There's also Gerudo Valley, which looks like a really cool stage. I'm really excited for that one, actually. But yeah, when I think about returning stages, the only one that comes to mind is Brinstar Depths, because the music there was cool, too. I haven't heard that music Brinstar, in such a long time, but I used to love that.
Both Brinstar musical pieces were good.
What's the F-Zero stage called in Melee? Is it Moot City?
That's Moot City and Big Blue. Oh, that's the one there. Big Blue, I would like to see return.
That's the one, yes. That was amazing.
Oh, a lot of people hate that one, too. That's funny, we're just mentioning all the most hated levels.
That's why they're so fun.
But now we ask, which version are you more interested in?
A very good question, by the way.
I'm more interested in the console version. Wii U.
I'm more interested in the 3DS version, actually.
I'm excited for the 3DS one. It's just, the more I think about it, the one everybody asks me about, like, you know, when's that coming out? When's it coming out? It's like, it's coming out in holiday. It's just, I feel like that this is the one I'm more excited for, because it's only, well, yeah, both my roommates have 3DSs, but one barely plays it, and the other one has no interest in the 3DS version of Smash Brothers. I think he doesn't, but I haven't asked him. No, I'm just more interested in the Wii U version, because it's able to, what Mario Kart 8 has done, just, you know, great living room entertainment. That's what I want, home local.
I'm just interested in the 3DS version more because it is the first handheld entry in the Super Smash Bros. Series, and I just want to see kind of like how they pulled that off. I've seen so much gameplay, and we know about Smash Run, and there's probably a couple more modes. I think on the main menu, there's this little icon that is just called Challenge. I have no idea what that is, but I can't wait to find out. And there's also like the graphics, the little outline that you can put on the characters. There's just, you know, a bunch of little changes that they've made, and I really cannot wait to just feel the difference in a handheld Super Smash Bros. Game. So that's why I find that one, it just intrigues me, kind of. So that's my answer right there. Colin, which version are you more interested in? Let's just hypothetically pretend that you have a Wii U, and so you could get either or both. Which one are you more interested in?
I will straight away go to the handheld 3DS version. Mainly because, Smash Bros. Has been done before on consoles, and I like when they try something new with stuff, and the idea, I'm going to put it on the handheld, that intrigues me more. I mean, yes, I played it, but I want to see, find out the depths of that game, and how comfortable it is to play after, you know, does it get uncomfortable after a certain amount of time, or, you know, whereas the HD, it'll just be broad HD, but different characters. It doesn't really, I mean, I love Smash Bros, but, you know, I feel like we've had that experience, three times before now, and so the handheld one will be a unique perspective for the game.
A lot of it, I feel like, depends on the different modes. Mm. I mean, we don't know a whole lot about the modes in the Wii U version.
That's right.
So it'll be interesting to find out what those are. So, yeah. Any other thoughts on that question there? I think we've all pretty much exhausted our answers on this one. We've talked about Super Smash Bros. Quite a bit. And that brings us to the end of our show for tonight. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to, you know, send us questions or comments that we can discuss on a later show, leave a comment on the post if you're in your web browser, that is, or send us an email at contact@infendo.com. And we will do our best to not get things jumbled up too bad and answer your question on the show. So, yeah, please do send us your questions. And with that, this has been Infendo Radio. Thank you very much for listening.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.